B-Pod Studios.
It's a Rap Party podcast, everybody. So two things are going to happen on the podcast today. One, we're going to talk to Dr. Z from BetterMed about kids going back to school and in general what we should look forward to with the coronavirus as we head into the fall.
Okay.
And then two, we'll wrap up a conversation we had on the air about the mysterious spooky place in Concord known as the Stonewall Jackson School or Stonewall Jackson Detention Center or something. We took some calls on that, so that'll be on there, okay? Loren, you have some questions ready to fire off to Dr. Z?
Sure.
Roy?
Yeah.
Sure. Who's this now?
Yeah.
All right, let's bring him on. This is our buddy Dr. Z from BetterMed. Good morning, Dr. Z.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We're doing really well. We're glad that you're joining us back on the Manny Roy on the Rim Morning Show. As you know, we're big fans of the BetterMed Care here in Charlotte. And you guys have taken good care of us during this COVID-19 pandemic from not only testing us through our own scares, but, giving us insights. You know, we love your expertise on what's going on with the pandemic because there's constantly new information out and how things are changing. And that's why we really wanted to have you on the show today.
So our first question, Dr. Z, would be, as we head into the fall, the CDC says to be prepared for one of the worst falls ever when it comes to infectious diseases. Is that something that you guys at BetterMed are ready to handle? And what are your thoughts on that as we move into the fall?
Yeah, I think everybody's sort of preparing for a worst-case scenario because we've seen what this has done in spring and summer. So, you know, we know influenza and upper respiratory infections are usually seasonal, and we see a spike in fall and then winter and some in spring. So it is we are getting prepared. We are setting up for a bad season. I think it's always better to over-prepare and not be caught by surprise than assume that it's going to be a typical flu season without corona.
Dr. Z, is it just because of corona it's going to be a bad season, or is it going to be the cold, the flu? My husband and I were talking about this the other day, and we were discussing, we don't know the answer to this, but are we, you know, when you're out and about, you come into contact with all these germs all the time and your body builds up an immunity. But because we're staying home and we're not coming into contact with those germs, are we going to get sicker faster when we do end up going out?
So that's a great question. Theoretically, that sounds like it would be plausible, but in clinical practice, it's highly unlikely. Just because you've been away from, you know, we've got very common upper respiratory, what we call bugs, around seasonally. They sometimes change if they're viruses. But historically, if you've had some normal immunocompetent response to any of these, you should be okay. The issue is what we're going to see is we're going to have not only your flu, your RSVs, your strep, now add, you know, corona, which is an atomic bomb to the 100th power, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As we get the kids ready to go back to school, the Manny Roy and Loren show, talking to Dr. Z from BetterMed. One of the things that I told my wife, you know, and it must be funny for you who has years of medical experience and practice behind you in education to hear somebody like me who has none just kind of like throw something out there. And I'm like, babe, maybe the flu and the cold won't be so bad because if you think about it, we're washing hands and being more proactive in keeping ourselves clean now more than ever. I saw a new study said 80% of Americans are now wearing masks. So maybe that.
I believe that.
I've kind of noticed that too.
I've noticed more people wearing masks.
And so my thought is that maybe doing that will help eliminate just the, like last year we weren't doing that for flu season, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
Yes.
That is correct. If we continue with masks and with good personal hygiene and social distancing, the incidence of flu, strep, RSV should go down naturally because you're keeping, you know, the reason we get more of these infections in the winter is because everybody is now indoors closer to each other. We're not outdoors like in the spring and summer. So that's an absolutely correct statement and assumption. So, you know, we're hoping, we're keeping our hands crossed, but you, I think you can make that assumption that maybe it won't be that bad. Now, that also hinges on the fact that we have a good match for the flu vaccine, and we don't know that quite yet.
Oh, when does that? I mean, we're getting a little close to the flu season. When does that come down the line?
Yeah, so they should start, you know, early fall, middle fall, September, October. We should start seeing the flu vaccine available for people to receive. So we're still waiting for that.
I will say, because I've been an early adapter of the masks. I was not one of the original My Liberty, My Body thing. I was a big fan of the mask. I haven't been sick all year. It's been wonderful, Dr. Z. And I will continue to hide in my home for the rest of the year. So thank you so much.
But you know you just jinxed yourself, right?
Oh, I'm sure. This audio will come back and bite me in the butt.
That's pretty funny.
Since we're talking about the flu vaccine, where do we stand today on August 14th on the corona vaccine? What are you hearing? What are you liking? What are you seeing on the horizon?
Well, so as you guys know, our Trump's counterpart in Russia has let the world know about their vaccine and that they're ready, you know, they're ready to go past phase three trials and they're ready to implement it. Their vaccine is probably, I'd wait and see, but from our standpoint, the companies in the U.S. that are working on the vaccine, you know, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, et cetera, we should have something. You know, our hope now is in 3 months at best. And, you know, as usual, first people that will get vaccinated are the people at the highest risk. But I think we're close, and I think it's looking very, very good for us to have something before it gets really bad in December or January.
That'd be wonderful. 3 months to get a vaccine?
Yeah, they're in phase three trials. So once they get past three trials, then you just gotta, you know, be able to manufacture and just, you know, get people vaccinated.
Yeah, I heard they already started the manufacturing infrastructure early so that once it passes through the trials, they'll immediately be able to get
it
out
crazy?
There.
That's literally putting the cart in front of the horse.
Yeah, it really is. Now, how long does a trial typically last? Like, are they speeding up these phase trials or are they going at the right speed?
That's a great question. I'm not really sure. I suspect that they're speeding them up because of the, you know, the
need,
the severity of this illness if not prevented. So I think but I'm not sure compared to regular phase three trials what the timeline is. I know that they're going to try to push things through as quickly, as safely as possible because you don't want to. I think what's going to happen with some of these companies that are pushing too fast is you're going to have these vaccines that are A, ineffective, and B, a lot of side effects. And then what that's going to do to the community, you as a consumer or a person that would be able to get the vaccine, you're going to have second thoughts if you're hearing about these horrible side effects and that it doesn't work. So although we're trying to push as quickly as we can, we want to do this right so we don't turn off people and then have half of the population unvaccinated.
Yeah.
Doctors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I've heard people say that, you know, they're definitely skeptical of the shot when it does come out, because at that point it'll have been so long since the virus started that it would have mutated and thus that vaccine maybe wouldn't even work.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You know, we can never get an exact match for the vaccine for the viruses because of the way that the strains change slowly. It's called antigenic drift over time. As long as you get close enough, then you should be okay. If we can get close enough, even if it's half 50% effective, you know, that's a significant number of lives that we're saving and a significant number of people that we're keeping from getting sick. So at this point, anything is better than nothing.
And that's the way we feel about the flu shot. Right. I mean, our flu shot's not 100%. It's not. I think I read something that said the vaccine that is the most
effective
was measles, and chicken pox was after that.
That, you know, I can't comment on that.
You don't comment on it because I don't want you to say yes or no about what I read. But I think I'll say it. I'm Maney. No doctorate here. I think that's what I read. But Dr. Z, we really want to know, what should parents be doing this fall as we send kids back to school?
As long, you know, it's, and I just want to make the statement, as long as the schools are ready and they have their mitigation, all their plans in place for social distancing, for face coverings for both the teachers, students, staff, everybody, I think it should be as safe as can be. And, you know, from the standpoint of the American Academy of Pediatrics and the CDC, we've got to get our kids back to school because the long-term effect of not having them in school can be pretty bad. So I think, you know, going to school, mask wearing, good hand hygiene. You know, it's hard to get kids to wash their hands as it is. So maybe with alcohol swabs and with hand sanitizer all over the place, encouraging that, you know, keeping fewer kids in class, this, you know, the different models that they're talking about, virtual versus in-person versus staggering, not letting them meet together. And I'll tell you, one of the things that we're seeing is, you know, a high incidence of contagion when you let people sit down together and eat together because they remove their masks and all of a sudden they're talking to each other and spreading the virus. So, you know, when they get home, you know, good hand washing, remove masks, if they're reusable masks, make sure you wash them, and then, you know, start over again the next day. But the great thing is what we're finding about this virus in different ages, you know, less than 10 years of age, they have the same viral load as adolescents or adults, but they don't seem to transmit as much, and we're not sure why. And so kids who are going to elementary should be okay. The people that we worry about are the teachers, staff, employees, et cetera. So if we're sending these kids with masks and the teachers and staff and everybody's wearing masks and they're doing everything that's recommended with social distancing, that they're cleaning the places down, you know, trying to keep one teacher and the kids in one room and not moving them from class to class.
Okay. Dr. Z, Better Med Care, thank you so much for joining us.
It's always a pleasure. Love talking to you guys.
So before we wrap up the rap party, we saw this really cool place when we were up in Concord. It's like this old juvenile detention center, the Stonewall Jackson Detention Center.
If you don't know what we're talking about, look it up on YouTube and Google it because it is spooky crazy. And we wanted to know, like, what the deal was. And we got some phone calls on it. And here's a couple phone calls that didn't make the air with a little more info on it.
Caitlin, so your grandmother lives near this place?
She would always leave her back door unlocked. Regardless, like, she had faith in the betterment of the kids that got sent there, and it always would freak my parents out because she would watch her, my grandma, our grandfather would watch all six grandkids on the weekends and things like that, and let us walk up to the gas station and get candy and things. Because
what's crazy, you know, about this whole thing, Caitlin, if I can interrupt, is what Roy and I expected to hear was people calling in and saying, like, from what we understand, up until, like, 1970, it's where people, juveniles, were held. But what I'm getting from all this and what we got on the air today is, like, this was active while y'all were young. Like, this is just, like, those buildings just closed down, like, somewhat recently.
Right, yeah. I believe that they said that they were infested with asbestos.
So, oh, asbestos.
What?
Asbestos?
Asbestos. I want to say that they were infested.
Okay.
My brother actually is a photographer and took my cousin out there to do, like, some photos before it all got fenced up. And there's, like, in the church part, there's still, like, the piano and everything. And it's really creepy. Like, the floors do have holes in them and everything like that. There's a big old stone bridge that leads from the church.
Why are they not tearing it down?
Property. But I think it's because it would cost more money since it is infested with asbestos.
Oh, yeah. You would have to do it the right way. Yeah.
Yeah. You would have to enclose it and everything. And I think that just costs more money. So they put a fence up. But and it's ugly. It's so ugly. The fence is ugly. They could have picked a better one.
So
I'm looking at it now. Like the windows are broken out. Some are boarded up.
Yeah.
But like we also heard that like there's still books in there. There's like notes from kids.
Right. I want to say that my brother did his senior project was investigating haunted places. I think that he researched that one. I'll have to double check with him. But it's neat.
It is. It is. And you're driving down the road, Loren, and like we saw these two huge rock formations and we were like, that's weird.
There's a lot of limestone around that area. There's a lot of limestone.
Like the granite or the limestone is just out of nowhere. And then just beyond that, Roy and I are like, never mind those rocks. Look at these buildings.
Yeah. And look at the big fence around them.
And like the Army Reserve is right across from it too.
Yeah.
That always like concerned me as a kid. It just kind of was like, crap. Like, I don't know. The United States is military is literally everywhere.
Yeah.
My head goes to like, hey, what if one of the juveniles escaped the detention center and went over and got on a tank?
Oh, yeah. Like that could have happened.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen. So that's cool.
It didn't. But apparently it's still active. Like someone else called in and said there's another building that there's still houses
juveniles.
There's a
newer building on the property that still works.
There's,
yeah.
They rebuilt built a new facility behind it whenever it shut down.
Wow.
That's nuts.
Which is more up to date and doesn't have asbestos.
Caitlin, we loved being up in Concord yesterday. It was really cool because we were off the highway, Loren, and got to kind of drive around the back roads and see things that we hadn't seen before. I mean, I've lived here for going on almost 10 years and I hadn't seen that. So
cool.
Yeah, Concord's beautiful. It's really blooming right now.
It is.
And the downtown area Roy and I saw was really cool. Like it needs a little comeback, like that one area where, remember there was like all those different little downtown stores?
Yeah.
They're remodeling that and adding some like seating area outside. They're going to take the parking off from the street. They built two new like parking decks so that more people can come down and enjoy the downtown area, which is really cool. The little the creamery is down there. They moved that to Union Street.
Well, Caitlin, when we can all go out and we can all be around each other again, call us and we'd love to meet you up there and we'll hang.
I would love to. Y'all have a great day.
You too,
Caitlin.
All right, you too.
And this is David. Now, David, you work at the middle school on the same road of the juvenile detention center.
I do.
Yeah, so when you heard us talking about it this morning, were you like, hey, I can add something to that?
Yeah, I was sitting here listening to the show. And I retired from the police department in Concord. So for years, people have tried to go out there and go in those buildings and stuff. But there are people that will just swear that that place is haunted.
It looks it.
It does. It looks rough out there. Those barbed wire fences around it.
That's new, though, right?
No, that's been there for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Okay. And that's to keep people from going into those buildings.
I suppose, but if you look at the wire on top, it looks like it's trying to keep people inside the fence, but I suppose that's what it's for.
That's true also, Roy. That's still they're still active an active building down there, so maybe they're trying to keep the people from getting out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but we just found out that the buildings can't be knocked down because they have asbestos.
Well, they're also historic. They're historic buildings. They were built in 1909 or 1910, I think. And they can't tear them down because of the age and, you know, what they hold to the county.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1909.
It's just like you can't do anything with them, though. They're just like sitting there, and it just really surprised Roy and I, and we knew there was a really cool history that the locals could tell us.
Well, they're beautiful, and that arch, I don't know if you noticed it when you come up the road that goes across the entirety of the road that says Stonewall Jackson School.
The giant pieces of limestone?
That go across the road.
Yeah.
It's an arch.
Yep.
When I was a little kid, I'm old. I'm like 60 years old. But when I was a little kid, my dad would tell me, if you misbehave, I'm going to take you up and put you out at Stonewall Jackson School. So it used to scare me to death.
Oh, man. Well, we appreciate you calling in. And by the way, a retired police officer, are you enjoying your retirement?
I went back to work. I'm working in the school system, but yes, I am.
All right. Well, thanks, David. Thanks for listening and hanging with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Love the show.
All right. See ya.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.